there's another aspect of authority that can be very destructive, and that is when authority is exercised in such a way that it destroys the creativity of people, where the authority is exercised in a way in which it implies that knowledge of how to do things can only come from above, that those below have nothing to offer but to follow what those more superior know is good for them or for the company or both. I learned a lesson about this from the psychologist Carl Rogers. I took a class with him while I was in graduate school, and how he started the class was different than any class I had ever been in. Instead of starting with telling us what we were to do, he introduced himself and said he was glad to be able to be there with us and to offer him whatever was valuable, and then he stopped talking. And one of my classmates got nervous and said, aren't you going to teach us about the subject matter? And he said, so you have in mind that I have an idea of what you need to learn about this subject? He said, well, yes, of course, you're the teacher. And then Carl Rogers said, I have a belief that the most important part of learning is to wonder what's worth learning. And if I come in and pretend like I know what you have to learn, I'll have this opportunity to wonder what's worth learning and to decide and to offer it to you. But to me, that would be my doing the most valuable part of learning. I would hope that you would all want to do that, that you would all want to begin by wondering what's worth learning. To me, wondering is important. It's important to wonder what's worth learning. Well, that lesson really stayed with me. How important it is when I'm in a position of authority to never imply that the people below me haven't got the same opportunity for creativity that I do. Because of my title, I know what has to be done or should be done, and that their job is to comply. When I work with children in school, I like to start with a song, and I'll tell you how this song came to be. Whenever I work with children in schools, I like to start by asking them, I wonder what you wonder about. And when I ask this to children age 6 in the schools, their creativity is very alive, and it's clear they've been doing a lot of wondering. And they will tell me what they're wondering about very quickly. And then, after school, I go over what I did with the students, with the teachers, and I begin with the teachers the same way I did with the students. I say, I wonder what you wonder about. But what a different reaction I get from the teachers than from the students. Instead of the immediate expression of the creativity that was going on in them that I got with the students, with the teachers I get silence. And then I say, I wonder what happens to us between the time when we're 6 years old and now. You saw how the students reacted today when I asked them what they wonder about. I wonder what happens to us. Then typically one of the teachers might say, I was afraid what I was wondering about might sound stupid. Another might say, I was afraid what I was wondering about was abnormal. And I said, so that's what happens to us. We work and get educated in institutions where our capacity to wonder, to be creative, is dulled because the institution is structured in such a way that the authority knows what's right, what we have to do, and our creativity and wondering gets lost. One day when I asked this of 6-year-olds, I was accompanied by a woman who writes music, and she used to love to go with me to schools when I would ask children this question, what do you wonder about? And she kept a little book which she wrote it all down because she decided she'd like to write a song one day about what these children answered when I asked them, what do you wonder about? So this one day she was with me and I said to the students, I wonder what you wonder about. And it was very clear that this 1 6-year-old young man had been wondering about something for quite some time because he immediately said, I wonder why my puppy won't eat green jello with grapefruit in it. And my friend used that as the stimulus for her to write the song she wanted to write. And she went home and she wrote the following song. And all of the lines in this song came directly from the children, except for about 4 lines, which she added for purposes of rhyme. I wonder.
I wonder why my dog won't eat green jello. I like the wiggly way it melts inside. I wonder when a turtle pulls its head in. Is it so dark it's scared to be inside? I wonder if a rock likes being hard. I wonder if the sky likes being blue. I wonder if butterflies like butter. I wonder if you like being you. I wonder why I don't feel myself stretching when people say I'm growing every day. I wonder why I always have to listen to more words than I ever get to say. I wonder if the grass cries when it's cut. I wonder if the rain hurts when it falls. I wonder if the earth gets dizzy turning. I wonder if little worms feel small. I wonder why I see so many people do things they don't really want to do. Wonder if the music goes away somewhere after I sing my song to you. I wonder if it feels sad to be old. I wonder if the moon likes company. I wonder why it's fun to feel a little scared. I wonder if you wonder like me.
So I would like us all to do some wondering, and on the basis of this wondering, to take actions that free us from authority and institutions that function in ways that are not conducive to our living the lives we choose to live. I'd like us to wonder whether we have fully developed our ability to stay human, even when we are in institutions that make it a challenge to stay human. I'd like us to wonder whether we have learned to express our humanity, even when we are labeled in a way as superior or inferior. And I hope that we are wondering whether we have fully developed our ability to see the humanness of people in positions of authority who aren't able to stay connected to their humanness and who speak a language of domination and who use punitive tactics. I'd like us to wonder whether we have fully developed our ability to see that person's humanness and that we can communicate with them in which we can show them other ways of getting all needs met beside the ways that we have been trained to use power within domination systems. So I'd like us all to learn how to use power with people, not power over people.
This concludes Session 6 of the Nonviolent Communication Training Course with Marshall Rosenberg. Our program continues with Session 7.